This is Ask Wes, a mini-sode where I take questions from you, my audience, about all things small business websites, digital marketing, email marketing, and everything else that'll help you be found by more people and help you turn those people into paying customers and clients. So listen up here, I guarantee at least one of these answers will help you too. Let's get to the first question. The first one is from Maria Fernandez. Any recommendations on how to select hashtags for a services company where the audience is wide? All right, so hashtags, I assume we're talking Instagram. So generally speaking, what we like to do with hashtags is if you're posting on Instagram, they give you 30. You have 30 slots for hashtags. Some people say, don't use all of them, it dilutes them. I say use all of them. I like to use all of them because they're extra chances for people to find you. But what you want to do ideally is split those hashtags between three levels of popularity, okay? You want to go for the really big money ones that are really broad and get a lot of search volume. The reason why you want to do these, even if you're small, is you have a small chance of, as soon as you post that, someone searching for that hashtag, and now you can show up in the recents results. You're going to really quickly get pushed down, but you have a chance for a lot of eyeballs right there. The second one you want to do is that medium popularity of hashtags. That's going to do kind of the same thing, but you'll be able to stay there for a little longer. And it's a little, the keywords are a little less popular, but you have a little more staying power, like maybe an hour to a day. Then you want to round it out with the low popularity, the really niche kind of hashtags that really apply to you and your content. Those get a lot less search volume, but you guessed it, you'll stay there for a lot longer because there's less competition for it. And the other thing I'll say is make sure you're choosing hashtags that people are actually searching for, because we're going through all this Instagram stuff in my business right now, where I'm training my project manager with all the hashtags. And basically, he was finding a lot of hashtags that were like web services or something like that. That is something that other web designers or web companies would put, but no business owner is typing in web services or web designer, right? Unless, because I don't think many people are like searching Instagram for their service providers, right? But they are searching for content. So do it that way. And then there's a tool I like called flick.tech. It's like $9 a month, I want to say. But yeah, it does a much better job of hashtag research than you can find just on Instagram itself. That's a little tedious. All right. From Gulf Coast Surf, how do you get your Google map at a public spot? I'm a fishing guide and have a hard time verifying a spot that has no address. Yeah, that's not gonna work very well, unfortunately. You need to use an address. So do you have an address? I mean, I'm sure you have a home address, right? So what I would say is if you really wanna be found at this place, you have a few options. There's one that can work and there's one that's really not gonna work so well. The one that doesn't work so well is just to do a service area where you use your address, but it's not listed. And then you just say, you list your little service area where you actually work. Unfortunately, if you don't list your address and make it public, you're never gonna get a whole lot of that Google love. So what I'd recommend doing instead is if you can possibly swing it, try to find the smallest little office space you can possibly find close to that spot. Anything that's verifiable, yeah, and I don't know exactly what your situation is, but if there's nothing there, then unfortunately you're just gonna have to do the thing that I said before and hope for the best. But I do, you know, if you're competing against other people that have the same scenario, you might actually not be doing too badly. So it's all about what your competition's doing versus what you're doing. So yeah, good luck with that. Okay, what messaging, and this one does not have a name on it, but sorry about that. What messaging can you suggest for a new dentist website? How do you get leads or patients for a new dentist website? So what I would recommend here, I've said it before, I actually love this for local businesses. I would highly recommend trying Spotify ads. They're great because they're super cheap and you can target like a a local area, be it a zip code, be it a radius around your, I think you can do a radius. I'm not quite, don't quote me on that, but you can definitely target geographically. Go really tight. You know, think about how far away people are realistically going to come. I wouldn't do 20 miles. I would probably do 5, unless you're kind of in a more rural area where people will travel further. And then a dentist is a pretty wide array of people. So that's where Spotify ads are great, is if you have a local business and you have a wide variety of people using you. So basically just you record a 30-second spot, or you have them do it for you. You just upload a script that's the right length for 30 seconds, going over your benefits and ideally a special. You want to have some kind of a in the door special that's going to get them motivated to come in. And then the cool thing about Spotify ads too is it is not just you know, it's not like listening to the radio in the car where you have to remember it. You literally, like, it comes up on your phone listening to Spotify, and you say in the voiceover saying, tap the banner to learn more, to take advantage of this offer, and they tap and they go to your website. Pretty cool, right? So I would recommend that before you try Facebook ads, just because you're kind of the perfect fit for these. But try Facebook ads as well. But again, you want to lead with an offer, an in the door price special. All right, cool. Next one is from Juan Pimentel. It says, for testing demand on services, should I create the landing pages and run Google Ads to check? Or should I do keyword research and then create landing pages for the keywords in my niche? This is okay, great question. So you want to test if there's a demand for what you have to offer. Well, first of all, a good way to check on demand is to do that keyword research. If people are typing it into Google, there's a good chance there's a demand for it. But you might be in the situation where people aren't really looking for it, but once you put it in front of them, like on a Facebook ad or something, they're interested, right? So I don't know if that's which situation is yours. If it's the kind of thing like a dentist, like a plumber, anything like that, where we know there's a demand for those things. But if you're gonna run Google ads, you might as well just do the keyword research, because that's all that's really gonna, you, they'll already tell you if people are searching for that term. You don't need to know if they're going to click on your link at that point, right? Or should I do keyword research and then create landing pages for the keywords in my niche? Yeah. So that's what I would do. Just do your keyword research, figure out what people are actually searching for, then build the language for the landing pages around that. Okay. Next one is from Sohn. It says, started a new YouTube channel. Do you have any suggestions or tips? Yes, I do. I paid a lot of money for my YouTube suggestions. Shout out to Tim Schmoyer and Video Creators. I took their program and it was really helpful. They basically dissected my channel. So yeah, I've got some tips for you. The first one would be, YouTube has one goal and one goal alone, to keep people on YouTube. So for that reason, you want to make sure that you're not sending people off of YouTube for every video. That was a mistake I was making. Every video is like, go to my website, as I have the website address down here, right? But every like fourth video, you can do that. You can send people to your lead magnet or back to your website. The rest of them, however, should basically tee up another video of yours for them to watch. So let's say you had a video you did last week, I don't know, about I'm having trouble thinking of examples. But anyways, you did a video last week, and the video this week, you want to end it not by using what we call wrap-up language, where you start saying things like, all right, guys, well, hope that was helpful. Hope you enjoyed these tips. Go ahead and like and subscribe. That is going, as soon as people start hearing that, they know this video is over. They get out of there, right? What you want to do instead is just seamlessly go from teaching this tip, and the next thing I want to teach you is how to do this. And I've got a video all about it. Click right here, and then you'll have the little, you know, the video call to action end screen there, and it'll seamlessly throw them to that video. Does that make sense? So the other thing you want to do is make sure your thumbnails are good and eye-catching, because that's how most people decide if they're going to give it a chance at all. So Have a question you want me to answer on an upcoming episode? Just DM me on Instagram at Wes McDowell, and then join me again on next Thursday's Ask Wes minisode for a brand new round of questions, and on the main show every Monday where I cover a complete topic that'll help you go further and faster in your small business. And if you want half off your web hosting, just visit wesmcdowell.com/hosting for an exclusive 50% discount on my preferred hosting plan of choice, Bluehost. Once again, you're gonna go to wesmcdowell.com/hosting for your exclusive discount. See you soon.